This call is being recorded.
All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Your Gifts Conference podcast. This is Patrick Pete, and I have my co-host Kim Andrews is on. My co-host Milton Holt is on. Is Alan with you, Kim?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, just a shout out to the audience and everybody.
What's up, everyone?
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, everyone. How are you doing today?
Awesome. So, I want to, as most of you all already know, I just came out of a quadruple bypass heart procedure. I want to share some things that I've learned from it that I think are important. You know, how to crush it during crisis. That's really what my theme is going to be, how to crush it during crisis. And a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to really encompass all of the different programs that we have, you know, with Milton Holt's Winning Hand Strategies and also with what Alan and Kim are presenting, because a lot of the elements that are important to being able to crush it through crisis encompass some of the things they are talking about, and also encompasses there's a element to knowing your gifts that plays a important part. So I don't know how much any of you know. I know Milton and Kim and them know a lot about it. They were at the hospital with me, and a lot of y'all know a lot of what's going on. Scott reaches out to me. I know Yvette, Chanel and Sharian and Detris, y'all have a good idea about what I went through with the heart procedure. Do you think it'd be good to go through that again?
Sure. You're good. My mom went through a triple bypass, so I'm familiar.
Yeah, okay. I am as well. Yes, my grandmother went through the same thing, Mr. Pete.
All right. So we got some mended hearts out there. Tell them I send my love to them.
Okay.
So, you know, I just want to, you know, talk about a couple of things. Because when you go through something like this, a lot of things happen. I knew that there was something wrong, and I knew I needed to deal with it, but I wasn't sure about the severity and the gravity of what I needed to do. You know, when I was originally dealing with the complications, I was like, well, you know, I can just get some more stents and you know, we should be fine. And, you know, when I went in and found out that wasn't the case, there were a couple of things that I learned, and I want to share these things with you. There are going to be a couple of things I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to compartmentalize them so you can take away from them something that you can, you know, use, and then we can talk about it. So I'm going to articulate them, you know, ahead of time. One of the things I want to articulate is just the concept of what we talk about when we talk about a spirit of fear versus a power, love, and a sound mind, and how in the process of me dealing with the issue, I was able to use some core principles to help me make the right decisions to put me in the right place. Because the difference between you coming out of a surgery and not coming out of a surgery could all be in the person you allow to do the surgery, could all be in the hospital, could all be in the circumstances. All of those things play an important part. So really the first point I want to highlight to people is when you're dealing with crisis, your decision-making abilities play a key component to that. And as Milton will probably share later today, that's really the key to the winning hand, to be truthful. Because one of the things Milton teaches is the first thing you do when you get a hand, whatever, in other words, whatever your life is, whatever your situation is, whatever your circumstance is, whenever you get that situation, you need to lay your cards out and be able to see what your hand is first. And a lot of people, what they do is they make judgments about their hand before they look at it and really find out what their cards are and how they're going to play it. So there are a couple of things that, you know, I want to share about, you know, the decisions that I made and the importance of, you know, having certain things in your life. So for example, let me talk about why I had the surgery in D.C. versus in Houston. So everything for me is about relationship and not transactional. It's about relationship and not transactional. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that is, business. It doesn't matter, church. I don't care what it is. That's a core principle of mine. And so when I was going to the doctors in Houston, they were being really, you know, very transactional about my heart issue, you know, telling me what they weren't going to do and, you know, doing diagnostic procedures that were really rudimentary. They really weren't doing anything, and yet they were sending me these huge bills. And so I made a decision that, you know, I'm not going to really deal with them about this heart issue, because regardless of whether they are or aren't, this whole way that they're dealing with me did not give me the indication that they really, you know, were connected to who I was as a person, and yet I was going to let them cut me open. And I just decided, nah, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to D.C. where I have a level of comfortability with my doctors, and I have had a support system. Not that I didn't have one in Houston. I mean, I'm from Houston, so I had one, but you know, there's a unique difference between those support systems. So, you know, my wife was up here, my daughter, you know, was in close proximity, so it just made a lot of sense. And so when I made the decisions to do the things I did, you know, that was the first step. You know, step number one was good decision making, you know, having a sound mind and what I was going to do. The second part was my belief structure. And my friend Milton has seen me go through a lot of surgeries. He's seen me go through open heart surgery, seen me go through a radical prostatectomy for prostate cancer. So he's seen me in the hospital and under the knife a couple of times, and he always makes this point of, he asked me the day we had lunch, he said, how do you get through it? Because it's, you know, it's all tough. And, you know, we talked about a couple of things. But the thing I want to share with people is something that we talked about, because I think it's important not only for this, but for what you're going to do with your gift, with your business, whatever you're going to do. And here's what we talked about. I was on a prayer call, and one of the young ladies on the prayer call, her name was Ashley. She made mention of a book called, the name of the book is called The Biology of Belief. And there's a hypothesis that if you believe something in your mind, if you have a mental belief of the truth of something, your body will physiologically create a dynamic within, it will create physiologically something to manifest itself in your body to reflect what it believes in your head. Now I'm going to repeat that. So the biology of belief is that your brain has the ability to, if it believes a thing strong enough and powerful enough, it will create the physiology within your body to reflect what it believes. And so when I go into surgery, you know, we talked about this, and me and my prayer partner expanded on this. And what I always do is when I hear a earthly or a temporal or a hypothesis, I always go back to scripture to see, is there something in scripture to validate this? And so there's a scripture in the Bible where the woman is pressing to touch Jesus' garment. And this is her belief. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she said, I'll be healed. Now, I want y'all to pay attention to what happens in this verse. Regardless of what you believe in terms of your belief system, I want you to really pay attention to this verse. This is, we're not talking about something that was written, you know, 500 years ago, 1500. This was just something written 2,000 years ago. The length of time to it gives it some validity in its ability to survive 2,000 years. So I want you to pay attention to this. Here's what it says. He says, the scripture says, Jesus says, who touched me? Because I felt power leaving my body. And the disciples go off and say, oh, yeah, Jesus, what are you talking about? All these people around you, and you talking about somebody touched you, you know. They basically was telling Jesus, you tripping. You know what I'm saying? Jesus ignores them. And they say, somebody touched me because I felt power leaving me. I need y'all to hear what I'm about to say. And when the woman who touched him said something to him, she's scared. Mm-hmm. She in fear. This is what Jesus says to her. This is Jesus says, thy faith that made you whole.
Yes, Lord.
Listen, I want y'all to hear what I'm saying to y'all. Listen, I hope y'all get this, because I'm blessing y'all. I need y'all to write this down, because we know that Jesus had the power, and the power was in him to heal her, but that's not what he told her. Mm-hmm. He said, no, your faith has made you whole. So when I talk about crisis, crushing the doing crisis, what I want you to realize is that whatever issue you got in your life, whatever addiction, whatever sin, whatever problem you got in your marriage, whatever entrepreneurial blocks you have, whatever circumstance you have, the determination for whether you have power in that situation is in your faith. Is in your belief. Because I just had an open heart surgery 2 weeks ago, and I dare y'all to say I sound like it.
No.
You and don't. I ain't bragging on myself. I'm bragging on God.
Come on, man.
Now, I can't go out here and run no marathon. You know, today, you know, my prayer partner came by. I walked around the block. You know, I thought I had walked around. You know, I thought I had done a 10-miler. So there's a difference between, you know, faith and foolishness, right? So, you know, foolishness is doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. But my point to y'all is I want to make this call about the importance of understanding this principle. Now, how does that relate to your gift? For me, the connection of my faith was in my belief that God has something for me to do, and I am doing it right now as we speak, and God is not going to take me up out of here until I finish it. So I never had a doubt about whether I was going to make it through. Why? Because I'm doing what I was created to do, because I'm walking in my gift, because I know what my gift is. I'm in the process of mastering my gift, and I'm operating in my gift. That's why, can I be honest with you? I know we said something in one of the meetings. We said when somebody's not operating in their gift, people die. Sometimes, you know, the situation is when you don't operate in your gift and you get in a crisis situation like this, you don't have a reason to live. is you don't know who you are, and you didn't let the enemy get you crossed up and get you tossed to and fro. That's why for me, it's important to me to make sure that I continue to do. Listen, I don't care if 1,000 people be on this call or 2 or 3 people be on this call. What I care about is that every single moment of my life from this point forward is moved in a path, in a direction where I can help people be able to live the gifted life. The gifted life is what my prayer partner talked about today. See, he came by, had lunch with me. That's really the life that those of us that walk in our gift are called to live. We're not called to live a life where, you know, what we do and when we do it is dictated by a vocation. We are put on this planet to do a thing, and God will enable us in every way, shape, and form to do that thing that he's called us to do. So I want to kind of open the floor up first for Milton, because I know you got a lot of stuff to talk about. But then I just want to get you guys feedback. And then also, if people struggling in the areas that we're talking about, if you're struggling through crisis or whatever the case may be, let's talk about it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to just ask everybody to just celebrate Patrick for that grand opening and that awesome testimony, and then that sound advice that he just gave us about our belief. Because
yes,
I believe so strongly that we should celebrate that, because I looked at his chest today. I looked at the scar on his chest, and I was amazed at how fine it looked. And it really didn't look as if he went through that magnitude of surgery. So that's enough to celebrate in itself. So can we just celebrate him for a second, man?
Hallelujah. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then, as I was sitting with him today, and as he spoke about that woman that touched Jesus, and I thought about it like shocked my body when he said it, because as she pressed through all of those people just to she didn't want to even see his face. It didn't even matter to her to see his face. It mattered to her to just touch him, because she knew if she could touch him, it could change her life. And that right there is a belief system, to just know that somebody that you can connect with that can turn the whole promises of your life around. And I believe that Patrick Pete has been someone that God has allowed to come in my life that has made that same kind of impact. That just by connecting with him, God has used that to change the confine of my life. So when he talk about me speaking on the winning hand, I have had several types of hands with my life. And when I look at Patrick, I realize why God allowed us to hook up, because he knew that we would have some similar experiences with really having to operate with the hand we've been dealt, but making that hand win when it doesn't look like the hand is a winner. And when he said laying out all our cards, because sometimes, I don't know if you guys know about cards, but for me, I'm a big whist player. I used to play spades, and I've changed from spades to big whist, because it's a more progressive and it's a more competitive game. to me. And what I looked at is it's a partnership game that you can't play by yourself. So the first thing I saw with that was when you've been dealt a hand, it's very important that you're not selfish the way you play it. And a lot of times we as people, we look at our hand and we make decisions based on our hand alone and not the people that our hand is being impacted by.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's it right there.
Do you know attitude is everything about the outcome of how you play? That's how you deal with the hand that you have.
Whoa, preach it.
So as I sat there with Patrick today, I'm telling y'all, it brought tears to my eyes because I watched this guy go through some major challenges in life, but he never, ever looked at him as though he was losing. And that's the way we got to look at our hand. What in front of our hand, we're going to win with the hand that's been dealt.
That's it.
Amen.
And guess what? Some of us have been dealt some really bad hands. And how do I know that? Because I'm a living witness of a hand that's been dealt. I never, ever laid my eyes on my father. And I know that there are some direct connections to your success to the parents that you have. And I had to grow up not even experiencing and knowing one of my parents. So that's a tough hand right off the break to be dealt. But my attitude with that hand determines the outcome of how I play the hand that I have.
Come on now.
I can sit there and mope and squander and have all these emotional changes because I don't know my dad, and there's some things that I know my dad can help me do that I have to learn on my own with the absence of him, but I'm determined. Thank God. And I don't wanna make this call about, you know, a spirit call, but can I just tell y'all something? I myself have to acknowledge the Lord and how he's helped me reconcile the hand that's been dealt to me.
Hey,
I couldn't have made it without
that. That's part of playing your hand, though. You know what I mean? That's part of playing your hand. I mean, you know, if you're unwilling to acknowledge, hey, I'm gonna tell you how I feel about it. Anybody who has a belief system. And they're unwilling to believe. It's one thing to believe in your belief system. It's another thing to try to push your belief system on somebody else. Those are two different things.
Some
people will act like if you mention your belief system, then you pushing it. But my attitude is that, you know, that's kind of like somebody being from a city. You say, don't you ever say you're from New York City or you from Chicago. No, you know, you're truthful about your life. In your circumstance, you're truthful about what you believe. You know what I'm saying? I can't speak for anybody else, but I can sure speak for me. That, you know, when I went in there, I'm telling y'all, I had zero fear and concern when I went in that surgery. When they wheeled me into the OR, I was like, still chilling. I, you know, but I say all that to y'all because I know some people, they get gripped by fear. They just get gripped by fear. They pay attention to, oh, Holy Ghost. They pay attention to every single thing to distract them from the truth.
Come on. For them.
Like, if I went in there and I looked at the OR, and I looked at them getting the saw and the clamps and everything prepared before they put me in there, and I start staring at all that stuff, then of course I'm gonna be tripping. Man, I ain't paying no attention to that. You know what I'm saying? I just told them I had two things I want. I said, I want the anesthesiologist and the surgeon to be on their game. I said, I need y'all to be alert. I don't need you to be sleepy. Make sure they get their coffee before they took me out. You know what I'm saying? I said, them two people, the nurses can sleep a little bit, but the surgeon and the anesthesiologist cannot. So I said, I need both of y'all. And that's the last thing I said to them before I went under. So my point is that we're talking about my surgery, but we're talking about something bigger, because all of y'all have dreams. All of y'all have purpose. All of y'all have things you want to accomplish. And a lot of times what happens is that crisis come in your life and crisis calls you. I just had my little brother from out of Houston call. And I had to talk to him because and this is the part I need y'all to hear. This is what I've learned, is that when you are called to do great things, crisis is a part of the equation.
Ooh-wee.
You're never going to be called to do great things if God hasn't, you're never going to have crisis and have great issues with that in your life if you don't have great requirement and great issues that God's calling you to do. You know, man, the devil do not worry about bench warmers. If you got issues in your life, listen to me. I'm 49 years old, and my prayer partner, my friend, my wife is on the phone, I think, too. Man, I done had so many surgeries and all these other things. Ain't none of it fazed me at all, because I'm not finished. I'm not finished. And guess what? As far as I'm concerned, all this is just an additional wrinkle on the testimony.
You got a winning hand, man. You have a winning
Come on. Come on, listen. Listen, I got played a couple of cards. You know, I looked at my heart card and I didn't get a king and a queen in the hearts. Huh? But I got a joker and a spade.
Woo! See, this is not a wrinkle in your testimony. It enhances your testimony.
Come on now. That's what I want
your testimony stronger.
That's what I want my testimony to be. Because guess what? We're having that conference, and that conference is going to be amazing. I'm going to be standing right up there. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be honest with you. I was, as part of my conference, I was going to put some of my pictures from my surgery. But my wife is such a faithful woman. My wife got some real pictures. I say, baby, they ain't ready for them pictures. The pictures my wife got. Listen, she got the real deal, so y'all ain't ready for that yet. I was like, thank you, baby. That's what I asked her to do, and she did it, so thank you. But I want people to know that success and achievement, I want every single struggle I went through to be evident when God allows his fullness to come through on what he's called me to do, every bit of it. So I want to give people on the call the opportunity to just sort of ask questions. If they want to ask questions of me, Milton, Kim, or just in general, they want to give commentary. You know, a couple of the ladies on here talked about they have family members that have mended hearts. And so, you know, they may have some testimonies relative to that. But I just want to open up the floor and just have a discussion, because what I want people to do is walk away from this really with a heart and a desire and a passion to not let anything at all stop you from doing what you're called to do. And if you're not doing what you're called to do, I want you to get to work. I want you to get to work, because you never know, tomorrow's not promised.
And just to add to that, Pete, what I was thinking when you were given such, you and Milk were given such powerful testimonies, is that pain breeds change. So whether it's in your life physically, or whether it's in your business because of financial concerns, because of maybe loss of major accounts, lack of sales, pain breeds change. And when you are in a crisis in your business or in your personal life, then you have to have some type of strategies in place to manage that crisis.
Yeah, come on now.
Kim, I like that. I like that.
That was good right there, Kim.
Ooh, that was good right there, Kim. That was real good.
Hey, Pete, I got something to add to that.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I've heard, a prevailing thread in your testimony is that you've been, in everything you've done, you've been fully convinced in your mind that this is what is supposed to happen. So, for example, you know, you were going to have that surgery, but you were fully convinced that you were going to make it through because you had something else greater to accomplish. And you got to be able to see the end, you know, throughout the whole scenario. You've got to be able to see the fact that, hey, I'm getting ready to go through this thing, or this might come up, but I'm fully convinced in my mind that there is something better, there is something greater. I'm not done, I'm not finished, and the purpose that God has placed on your heart is gonna come to pass. So with that type of mindset, you were prepared to go through it. You got to take that and translate that into every aspect of your life. That's how you should look at every situation, whether it's a good situation or adverse situation. You got to be fully convinced in your mind that whatever track that you're being taken through, that this is to help you, this is to benefit you, and it's not going to deter you from the vision and the plans that God has laid on your heart.
Amen. Amen. I'm gonna be honest with y'all. I could envision this podcast when I was going into surgery. I envisioned it. The testimony.
Wow.
I'm gonna be honest with you. As far as I was concerned, I was gonna have that testimony the Tuesday afterward. But you know, that's the difference between faith and foolishness, right? So I was like, yeah. That Tuesday came around. I was like, no, it's not happening today. I said, okay, God. I give you one more week. You're gonna have to let me loose next week. Because I got something to do, and I have a purpose behind what it is that I'm trying to do. So
Hey Pete, you know what I really like what Alan said about being fully convinced in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many things that try to distract your mind when you have to prepare to do something.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially when you've gone through something before and you had to work through it in your mind, you had to work through those processes. You have to. Oh man, I like that. I like that, Al. You gotta, because like you said, there are gonna be some distractors trying to stop you from believing what it is you get ready to experience.
Oh yeah, I went through that when I was going through it. You know, just to share with y'all, I had family members and friends and you know that. Basically, it was like, yo, man, you know, you need to stop all that seminar and inspirational stuff that you're doing, and you need to slow down. I had about three or four people tell me that people I know love me. And you know what I told him? I said I wouldn't have been able to survive the surgery if I was gonna come back and not do what I was created to do. I said you might as well be asking me to go through the surgery to then die. Cause what I do now, I need y'all to hear this. What I do on this call with the people and people I deal with, you know, my friends, these people that are on the call, people that, you know, that I have client relationships with, I don't do this for money. Mm-hmm. My prayer partner and them will tell you right now, I live in D.C. I live in an IT contractor's dream. If it was about money, I could build a multi-million-dollar IT business down here in a lickety split. I mean, I'm not bragging. They know how long I've been here and how long I've been good at what I do. But that's my heart's not there. Cause it ain't about money for me. It's not about money. It's about me doing what I was created to do. And so, you know, those of you who I've had relationship with, you know, some of the people I've had the opportunity and the blessing to be able to coach, you know, probably know what I'm talking about. But I don't want to spend too much time on that. I want to give y'all on the call the opportunity to share. So I don't know if Detrus and Sherry want to share, but just in general, if you guys want to share in general about what we've talked about and give commentary, you know, I'm going to put PJ on blast because he's so wise, man. This dude's so wise and so deep. I can't let him get on the call without dropping science. He just, you know, he's going to have to call on another number where I don't know it's him. But y'all opportunity.
Amen.
Peace, my brother. Peace and blessings to everyone. Greetings. Yo, man, it's a real pleasure to hear your voice. It's like you are definitely a power of example. You know, just your enthusiasm, your outlook going into the surgery, coming out of the surgery. It's like you're like that light, man. So a lot of people are going to be guided, you know, just because of this part of your testimony. You know, I was listening, you know, I was cooking, you know, I'm eating now, you know. But I definitely wanted to tune in, you know what I mean? So, hey, man, it's such a blessing to know you. You know, it's like you definitely have helped me upon, you know, on my path. You know, I appreciate you, and I'm going to keep moving with you, man. I'm going to keep moving with you, and, you know, if whatever you need, man, just holler at me. You know, I do the best I can, to, you know, whatever.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Need me to grab something? What's up?
Anybody else want to share? Anybody had any commentary?
Yeah, I do.
Yes, sir.
This kind of is going to go based off of what Kim, Milton, and a couple others may have said. Mm-hmm. I kind of got in a little bit late, so I didn't get to hear the full extent of the testimony, but there's a couple things I've learned in this little time I've had on this earth. There are four things that are constant in this world: taxes, death, crisis, and change.
Come on now.
And the reason I say it that way is because, well, the government ain't going to stop coming for their money. There's going to be a day where that curtain will fall and our presence on this earth will no longer be needed. Crisis comes whether you invite it, whether it's brought to you or it's dropped in your lap. There's nothing you can really do about it but navigate it and get through it. And, well, if you don't change, you don't eat. Simple as that. So that's the thing. Those are the things that I get from the recovery of our dear brother Patrick here. And then on top of that, the iron sharpens iron, steel sharpens steel theory, saying, law, depending on who you talk to, is very evident here. We've got a lot of people who've been through a lot of things, who've been dealt bad hands, and just basically learn how to make those nines and tens and jacks of diamonds turn into spades.
Come on now. Sound like somebody know a little bit about them cards.
Come on now.
So, yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. Everybody who's a spades player knows when you're overloaded on a certain suit, somebody chopping. Simple as that. That's where that crisis comes in, because your partner's sitting there looking at you like, dude, you got nine diamonds. How are you going to make this work? Watch this here.
Right.
Every diamond he cut, or that other person cut, that's one more that can't get through. One more that can't stop you. So?
Gotta have a strategy.
I like that. I like that.
Until you run out. And see, here's the crazy thing. 9 times out of 10, you've got that many diamonds, you're short on guess what? Hearts, clubs.
Yeah.
You might have 3 or 4 medium spades in there, but you know they ain't going to get through until them joker dudes, ace, get out there. So you play them diamonds, you have your partner do the best he can to pull them big jokers out. Because I guarantee you, get them top three out, it's a wrap.
If you can just get to the end of the game.
Queen walking, jack 10, 9 walking, everything.
If you can just get to the last couple of hands, and you can and you can be running the board, you can do something.
That's why if you notice people who get them who call for them 10 for 200s, 11 for 220s, I don't know how y'all call it where y'all at. They run high spades first because they want to bleed everything.
Yeah,
there's a very good reason for that. Remove the opposition, your road is clear. Period.
Come on, brother! Come on, brother!
Go!
That's it right there.
And your road is clear. Boy, I like that. Like I said, Pat invited me tonight, or actually, he invited me last night, but it was on tonight, so I had to get on and drop a little bit. And listen to some very, you know, high power stuff myself. But yeah, like I said, there's only 4 things in this world constant: taxes, death, crisis, and change. The way you get your spades is how you deal with all 4.
Come on now.
I love it.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff right there, Ron. That's good stuff. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
No.
Thanks, Ron.
Thank you. We got anybody else out there with want to drop any wisdom?
I'd like to drop wisdom as well as I'm not so sure if I need some support on something.
We got you.
Okay. There was something that someone said, and I didn't catch your name well, but you mentioned that pain breeds change, and I get that. And I like the part about you need strategies in place when these crises occur. Okay. I have this situation where it seems like just when I'm ready to go to the next level to finish a project I've been working on, a family crisis occur.
Mm.
And I'm one of these kind of passionate mom and grandmother, it's like I lose all focus on what my path is. I get obsessed with the stuff that's going on, and I know I have no control over it. I wish I could say I wouldn't like that, but I am. So that's one thing that I'd like to put out there. The other thing, I want to give you a little background on how I'm kind of this way. Well, number one, I'm a little bit older. I don't know how old everybody else is, but I'm like semi-retired now. I'm excited, but I'm not really retired. I'm just going to the next level. I used to be a chemist, was a chemist for 14 years, stayed home for 6, went and got my certification, and then last year I got finished my master's in human behavior. The goal was to open a transitional home about 7 years ago. That was my goal. And then I've changed to wanting to be not only just a motivational speaker, but I would like to go into the schools to talk to the young people about life, just motivate our kids. And also going into the elementary schools to just read to our students. And, wow, let me stop because there's a lot going on. So here's the situation. Sometimes I'm getting lost in where I need to start. I know where to start, but sometimes I'm losing my focus. Like I may have a kid call me at 1:30 in the morning, like she did about a month ago, to ask me to drive 45 miles to do something. I'm like, I can't, babe, I can't do that. I can't do it. And then, so I'm concerned about how things are going to work out. And I'm giving it to God, but sometimes I'm picking it back up, guys. Okay, I'll be quiet.
So let me just know everybody has some good nuggets to give you, but as you were sharing that, the one thing that came to mind to me was I was looking at the scripture that talks about the narrow way of the gate versus going straight through it.
Mm-hmm. What's up, y'all?
And that narrow way means that there are many other things happening when you're trying to go straight in the direction that you've been destined for.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe is that sometimes that you have to shut things down in order to be effective once you get through the gate.
Okay.
Because there's going to always be a need. But it sounds like that every time you get ready to get to that next level, a distraction mm-hmm. come to get mm-hmm. you off course, and you have to hit some. You have to set some margins, stick to them, and don't let anything distract you from getting to the next margin. Now that's what I heard listening to you, because you have accomplished some things and you're trying to go somewhere, but people are always pulling from you, and it's been a distraction.
Mm-hmm. And I feel obligated a lot of times to help. And what I'd like to say is a good point that you mentioned about me achieving things. The way I had been able, I am able to achieve things is when I maintain my focus. I only finished, I got my certification to teach because I had to maintain that focus. I had to focus on school. The way I got my master's, well, actually I got that with my counselor. I kind of felt like I didn't deserve it, although I worked hard. I used to talk to my counselor once a week because I'm just dealing with that in a way, just dealing with my own stuff.
Mm.
And I got it, but I worked so hard to maintain that focus. And then so now I'm at this pinnacle of, okay, you're ready for the next level. But I know, who was that? I read something Yolanda wrote today, that when we start over, we're really not starting from scratch. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, I'm going around this wheel, doing good, and stuff messes up.
then it'll seem like I got to start back over. But I'm not starting completely over, but I'd like to quit tripping up like that.
Can I
wanted to say something.
Please.
This is Patrick's wife. I was listening to what Milton was saying. There's always going to be noise in your life. When you accept that reality and be able to set boundaries, then you will be able to move forward. It's just like when you're going through a traffic light. When the light turns red, you have to stop. You can't go till the light turn green.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't set any boundaries, because it's always going to be noise and interruptions, and you got to be able to set the boundaries so you can do what you got to do.
That's true.
But if you don't set the boundaries, then it's null and void. You have to set the boundaries. It's always going to be noise, always interruptions.
And you know what?
That is life.
You're so correct. Thank you for using that word, boundaries. I want to share something. Tell me your first name, because I know you. I know Patrick Pete. You say you're his wife. Tell me your first name.
Gwendolyn.
Hi, Gwendolyn. Thank you for saying that said boundary. I have something I want to share that just recently happened with my oldest child. See, I raised my children. My husband died 30 years ago this year, and I didn't remarry. So I raised the kids by myself. And I think because I felt, in a way, you know, you maybe felt sorry for my kids. Some people say my kids are spoiled. At any rate, I used to allow my kids to, I think I kind of raised them like Dr. Spock did, halfway Dr. Spock, the other half old school. I'm going to whoop you up behind if you talk too much. So speaking of setting boundaries, Gwendolyn, would you believe I just mentioned to my 30-some-year-old daughter just this past week about you will not just tell me whatever you're thinking about some foolishness that's going on, because you don't need to bring that to me. I told the mistake I made is I've let you say too much. And I know you're right on that. And I appreciate for you reaffirming that. But I wanted
to share one thing with you, sharing what has helped me through any of this, because me and you have talked, and I know how deep your understanding is of God's word, and I know, you know, I can't know only a person, only God knows the relationship you have with him, but just from my interaction with you, you know, I feel like there's some core things that I think if I share them with you, you'll understand them. So let me tell you what has helped me when it comes to anything. I mean, I was just talking to Milton today, and I'm just going to be honest with you. For me, and I got people on the phone, you know, that I love, who I talk to, and we go through scriptures together, like Scott and others. But here's what solidified everything for me. And Scott, don't you get too excited when I say the scripture, because it comes out of the James. It's the first chapter of James, the fifth verse.
Give it.
Hold on 1 second, because you know you got mad background noise over there. Hold on a second. Here's what it says. It says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Do you know why I love this scripture? Because most people, this is what most people do, and I'm included in that, is when you ask for advice, they will get mad at you, especially if they already told you before. You'll get upset. I already told you that. What this scripture is saying, regardless, if you lack it, ask him. So what I would suggest to you is that make it very simple. You know, my wife, a powerful woman, but, you know, the thing she didn't share with you is my wife basically do what God tell her to do, and that's it. And everything else is noise. You know, the difference between me and her is I'll have 5 different books open and I'll be like, you know, they were talking about this theory about the openness of God. And, you know, I'm curious, you know, this scripture. My wife don't worry about none of that.
No, that's where my mother was. My mother's that way. And I'm like that most of the time. My weakness can be my kids.
But that's the thing. The thing is that a lot of women think that's noble.
I'm not trying to say it's noble because I wish I wasn't that way. Okay, because to me, I had to set boundaries. I literally had been listening to some stuff, and I realized I'm like, Sharon, God is expecting you to tell this kid some stuff because she's saying things. And it's done gone too far, you got to put it back. You got to put it in place. So it's not, believe me, it's not about nobility. It's about just weakness is my kid. That's all it is.
My wife is on it better than me.
It's my kid. They love. Like the gentleman who said he doesn't know his father. My son lost his dad at 14 months. He doesn't know his dad. I got my 4-year-old and the oldest who was 8. They will tell you themselves they don't really remember him. And so we did well, you know, bringing them up. And like the story, I appreciate the story about the woman who just touched the hem of his garment. I mean, I'm a very strong believer in God. Don't get me wrong. It's not like it's a weak faith. It's not like I don't know the scriptures. It's just that I got an Achilles heel in a spot, and I need to get it. I need to keep it healed.
Yeah, you need to put some boots on.
Yes. And so...
can I offer a suggestion?
Please do.
This is Kim Andrews, and I was one of the ones that you talked about, pain breeds change.
Yeah.
And one of the strategies that I was going to share was making sure that you had a plan in place.
Steps to prevent
reoccurring problems. So that means that, because it sounds like you were talking about a business at first when you were talking about the behavioral and whether you were going to go into the talking to the kids about their problems or you were going to do the behavioral management for people going through challenges. So if you can write some things down and put a business plan in place, that will act as a roadmap to you, for you.
Yes.
So that when you are distracted, you know, you left off at step 1. I need to come back to step 2.
Mm.
You're going to have a step-by-step roadmap.
Yes. Okay.
So that's all I wanted to offer is maybe you want to put that business plan in place or that life plan and incorporate your business plan within it.
Mm-hmm.
But putting a plan in place so you have a step-by-step strategy.
Yes. And I am I'm actually... I'm also a writer. I actually am an inspirational writer, and it's spiritually inspirational. Matter of fact, one of my postings I just did the other day, it's entitled, It's All About Attitude. The one I wrote yesterday, it's in the tongue. That is life and death. And so I thank you for reminding me.
I need to get back with my accountability partner to make sure I get this plan in place, because one of the issues I know I need to plan is getting sidetracked, but I got to get that plan completed. Thank you, Kim.
Hey, Sherry, can I jump in a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Something that I've heard a million times from ET.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Huh. Good.
Simple and plain.
Everybody has a plan until what?
Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, i.e. crisis.
He sure does. Yes.
Now, as far as the you know, distractions of children, et cetera, I'm a parent myself. I completely understand from that perspective. However, because of the way I'm made up, I have a little more Aries in me than I should.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that to say this. If your children are over the age of 21, they should be on mm-hmm. their own.
Mm-hmm.
Point blank, period. The most they should be saying to you as mom is, hey, how you doing? I'm bringing the grandkids over. When is Christmas dinner? That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the time, they should be handling they own. Now, mm-hmm. as far as, like I said, the crises that come, they gonna come. Know why? You are in the middle of doing something that's gonna change the world. Maybe not the global economy, but it's gonna change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you're on your given path, when you're on your destiny path,
mm-hmm.
stuff is gonna get in your way to see if you really want it bad enough or not.
And that's what's been happening. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you do a lot of inspirational things, and I can't wait to read some of them. I'll have to find you on Facebook regardless. But it's time to take the inspiration that you're giving to the masses freely, take just a little bit more of it, and train it into that focus. You get those plans done, and then set those boundaries like Gwen was talking about. And then you'll be off to the races. Like I said before with the spades analogy. Clear the roadblocks.
Mm-hmm.
Quick.
Mm-hmm.
Clear them as quickly, precisely, and efficiently as possible. The road is clear. You can do 140 and flying, and nobody going to say nothing to you.
Thank you for that. Tell me your first name again.
Ron.
Oh, thank you, Ron. Thank you, Ron. Guys, I appreciate y'all being on this phone tonight. Y'all have no idea, but maybe you do. Thank you.
No doubt. We do.
Yeah. Appreciate it. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody's comments. I want to tell you, I got something good I want to tell you all, a testimony about my mom and her surgery. My mother had her surgery in 1987 on a Thursday morning. By Saturday morning, she was ready to come out of ICU and go into her room. And she had that surgery at the age of about 55. Her doctor said he'd never seen anybody come out of ICU as quick as my mom. But what she told us before they put her to sleep, they said, don't y'all worry about me, because I'm going to be all right, because God is taking care of me. My mom didn't have a job. She had lost her job. And she had, I would say, like minimum insurance. And I loved it watching my mother recover. Like 3 weeks and 2 days later, she had me straightening, washing, coloring her hair, because she was at church service like 3.5 weeks later. But she healed quick. And it's powerful. I know what faith can do, because God, my faith in God has got me where I am today.
Amen.
I heard that. Mama got that dog for real. 3.5 weeks, she's sitting up in church. Yeah, she got that dog for real.
Yeah, she was. She was sitting up in church and had me. I was about crying. Mama, please don't make me do your hair, because, you know, she leaning over the sink and had this long scarf. I didn't want to do her hair. You going to do my hair? I'm going to church. Okay.
That's right.
And
She had purpose.
She ran for a marathon, but she went to church.
She had purpose.
Yes. That's the word. My mother had purpose. And you're right. That's exactly what it is. She had it. It was purpose.
That's it. Thank you so much, Sharon. I want to be respectful of time. I wasn't quite sure who wanted to share, but as we close these last couple of minutes, anybody else want to share? I just want to thank everybody that has shared. And again, Sharon, thank you. And thank you, Ron, and everybody. And Yvette, Yvette tried to come in here and don't say nothing, but she one of the most powerful people I know. Yvette Judge, can you at least say hello?
Hello. Hi, everybody. How are you doing, Yvette?
I am doing great. I think it's kind of funny that that Pete said, that he was thinking about this conference call like while he was on the table, and before he got on the table. And in my mind, even when you said that there were people who said, "Oh, you got to slow down," I'm thinking, somebody said that to Pete. I mean, as protective as I am of Patrick, Pete, and Gwen will tell you this, because I'm like, Gwen, if you ever need a backup or anything, Gwen doesn't need a backup, but I'm there for her. I wasn't even thinking about, okay, Pete is not going to be doing these calls, because in my mind, it's like these calls are just so integral for my growth in this season and in my time and what I see Pete doing and just how Pete is pouring into so many different people's lives. I mean, I was there with you with that vision. So I think when you said that and I had my thought, is that you really do have to have a team of people with you to push you in the direction that you're going. Push you, pull you, whatever
exactly.
It is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But sometimes
and that have real belief in what you're doing.
Right. Exactly.
And that's why I signed up in BU.
BU?
Yeah.
Y'all know
I want y'all to holler.
BU?
The importance of BU. Yeah. So they know it just ain't me.
Yeah.
Patrick P. Yo, yeah. Double P, can I ask her a question?
Yes, sir.
Before we go?
Yes, sir.
What's your name? Sound like the lady who set the call off with the question. What's your name, ma'am?
Sharian.
Oh, Sharian. Peace. I'm Scott. I got one question for you. You mm-hmm. mentioned you just got your degree, correct?
I got my master's.
Yep.
January last year, a little over a year ago.
Congratulations on that. So it's not really educational, I could tell you. You also said you understand scripture because my gift code's Double P went into James, and you was like, "Yo, I'm good on that." So there's nothing I can tell you that. So I got a question for you. My question is, what makes you keep stopping what you want to do every time a family crisis pops up? Like, I had to write that down when you said it. And the reason why I wrote that down when you said it is because I'm learning about patterns, and I'm learning about every time a person does something that's really important, like the other brother said, whatever it is that's in you, it has to come out because the world needs it. You know what I'm saying? So my question to you, because you sound like, Patrick Pete, disclosure, forgive me, Sharianne, for what I'm about to tell you, but you sound like the cool grandma who's a pushover. You sound like if you was my grandmother.
I've been a pushover, and I had to stop it. I have been.
Can I finish? Can I finish?
No, you said it because it's okay. I'm okay with it. I finally tell my kids, my oldest, if the buck stops, baby, this has to stop.
So you wrote it on the wall? You wrote it on the wall? You said, "I'm not a pushover," and you're able to. Because we're in the same boat. That's why I could only speak to you with this. Are you able to look in the mirror after making a hard decision and love yourself for it? Are you able to tell one of them who's asking you for stuff or begging you for stuff or using you for stuff or who may really need you, no, and look in the mirror and be like, "I said no and I'm good with that"? Because until that happened, you're not going to stop getting blocked.
And here's the deal. To be honest,
Scott, right? I've been able to do it. I can look at myself, but I would probably say that I'm good with it 70% of the time, and not 100%.
Right. That's better than zero. 70% is better than none. And I'm proud of you for saying but and recognizing it. And I'm with you. So if you ever need any, you call me and I tell them, yo, get away from her right now. You know what I'm saying? Move back. What I'm going to do? I'm going to call DMX. Hold on. Let me get my man DMX. Yeah, y'all going to think he's with me? Hold on. Yo, X, tell her, yo, protected by Viper. Stand back. You feel me? Move back. Get away from her, dog.
I cannot.
I love it.
Excuse me, y'all. I can honestly say he's really good at that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been with that man for 16 years. He's very good at stepping in front of family members and saying, no, not right now. This is not going to happen.
Queen, is that you? Oh, my God,
yes,
you listening?
Course.
I love you.
Hey, Queen, I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to handle hearing your voice on the call. I might have to mute him because, you know, he would have been crazy.
You see how excited he gets, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we got a tag team to help him. But I told him, don't stop being excited. We just gonna put it in, you know, put it in a container so you can break it out when you need it.
I tell him that all the time. Be you.
That's it.
Yeah.
Because as soon as he tries to be somebody else or conform to what he thinks people want him to be, then he loses that part that makes him him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the same thing for Sherry.
The queen really just really encompassed a really important point that I also want to say as we get to the end of the call. Because I talk to Scott about this a lot of times, and this is also important about sharing and everybody else. And what that is it's important for you to be authentic and transparent to the mirror, to who you are, so that you're comfortable with. And what I tell Scott is, I say you got to be comfortable with both the good and the bad. You know, if you can only look in the mirror when you got makeup on, that's not real. You need to be able to look in the mirror no matter what, because it's only when you can really see yourself for who you really are that you can really be who you really are. And that's the only person that's the only person that when the gift is in the hand of the person who possesses it can really wield it. If you masquerading, if you doing something other than what you call to do, it ain't gonna work. So yeah, I'm with you, Queen, on that one. I'm with you on that one.
Real quick before we hop off here, Scott, I thought I was dropping bombs. You just dropped the Hiroshima nuke in this joker real quick. Appreciate that, bro.
That's right.
Yo, blame it on Patrick Pete because he is helping me with clarity. He's helping me be direct. He's helping me be direct. He's helping me be definitive, and he's helping me be deliberate, and he's enforcing that it's okay for all of us to be that way.
That's right.
Yeah.
I ain't blaming him for nothing. I'm saying keep going.
Thank you, dog. DMX, thank you too, dog.
Hey, listen, y'all, we've come on the end of the call. I'm not sure if anybody else had anything they wanted to share, but I just want to thank y'all. It's locked in my head, the people that joined the call today. This is an important moment for me. What I experienced and what I went through, and to be here and to be able to have y'all on the call and to be able to really, in a real way, experience what it feels like to go through something, to continue on to do what you're called to do. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for the call. I want to thank Alan and Kim and Milt for being my co-hosts and my partners. And I promise y'all, the conference is going to be off the chain. So get your nickels together, because when we launch it, it was going to be at the end of February, but we got to do a couple of things. And then there's some other things that have come up with BU that I don't want it to conflict with. But when we launch it, I'm telling you, it's gonna be a major, major event that you're not gonna want to miss.
Now, when is it coming up?
It was at the end of February. I think we're gonna move it. We talked about moving it somewhere around April, but I don't know if I'm gonna do April. I think we may do May, like Alan talked about May. I didn't want to wait till May, but it looks like, you know, the situation, circumstances are going to dictate that. But Kim and Alan and them will probably give us more definitive information, and we'll have more locked-in information in the next couple of podcasts once we have it all locked in and solid. But we'll give you plenty of time to get tickets and airfare. And you know, this is our little area. So if you come up here, I'm telling you, you're going to have a great, 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 great time. You're going to be blessed. You're going to learn some things. You're going to enjoy the nation's capital. I got a lot of things I want to do with people, especially those of you that may want to go to the African-American Museum. You know, I want to set up some things. We're just going to do a lot of good, great things and have a lot of great have a great time. And we just happen to know a pretty good church, if y'all church going folk, that you might want to mm-hmm. go and go through a worship service with us. I don't mm-hmm. know, one of these other guys, Milton or Alan, they might be presiding. You know what they call y'all now, presiders? Over the service.
Hey, you may be one too, so you let them know
we'll
that
see.
While you're giving information out.
Oh, hey,
Pete,
all right.
Hey, Pete, you a funny dude, man.
I try to be. Hey, love y'all. I just want to, you know, shout out again. They didn't say anything, but Chanel, I see you out there. Dennis, I see you out there. I see somebody calling out of Woodstock, Illinois, but they haven't said anything. So I'm going to ask, who is 815-482-1479? Oh, they must be on silent ministry.
That's Phil from Illinois.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Real good. I'm glad you're feeling better, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming in to join the call, man. It means a lot to me. So, Chanel, you got any parting words that you wanted to share with us before you leave? You know, you've always been supportive, sis, so I just wanted to, you know, give you a shout out.
I appreciate that. No, I don't want to say anything, but I'm just happy that you're back and okay.
Awesome. All right.
It's good that you're doing better. And I want to thank everybody for all your input again. Again, I want to say thank you.
Good. Hey, just want to shout out to everybody in the Houston area. Doc's going to be in Houston coming up soon. So, you know, I know y'all going to want to make that meetup. So I think the meetup is February 3rd.
Really? Okay.
Yep, February 3rd in Westheimer. So it's going to be somewhere up in Uptown, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
So, you know, if you get a chance, I would suggest you go to the meetup. And he'll be here in National Harbor on the 30th of January for a BU meetup. So if that's, I hope that Kim, Allen, and Milton will have joined BU already, you know, so that they can partake with their fellow BU brethren.
Amen.
I'm gonna keep y'all prayed up.
Amen.
All right. Go
thank
ahead.
You. I like that. Amen.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a great day. Thank y'all for coming on the call. And I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man what God has prepared for those of us that love Him. Let's go out here and kill it. Let's make it happen, because that's what God's called us to do. Be blessed.
Be blessed. Peace, everybody. Good night.
Yes.
Good night.
Thank you.
Peace, y'all.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Peace, Judge.
Peace, Queen.